Welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
Audio, 123, testing. Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WB5Y. Once again, time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesday to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1655, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, March the 17th, 2026. Which in UTC time is Wednesday, March the 18th, 2026 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. Okay, thanks to Joe, W5BSA. We are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. Also, the 443.325 repeater and Katie, they both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there is links to the 140. Okay. 123 Audio. All right, this is Director Net. All calls should go through Net Control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. Looks like we got our audio issue for the moment working again. Thanks to Joe, W5BSA. We're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston. Also, when the connections are working, we're on the BMR Talk Group 98006, YSF Fusion 11689. All-Star Node is 572-580. And Echo Link, of course, is at star and set star. I will now take any check-ins.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, W5JRD Carl, Jersey Village. Good evening, Marty.
Good evening, Carl, WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. How's my audio right now?
W5BSA repeater.
You're not crystal clear, you're a little fuzzy, but you're readable, very, very well readable.
Okay, very good. Well, I guess we'll have to go with that. We appreciate it. We got anybody else checking in? Okay, well, we're going to start here with a little bit of information from the South Texas Blue Launch Team. And it actually comes from the Richardson Area Balloonatics. They've posted a 2026 roadmap for some upcoming operations there for the Arlington and the group up there near Dallas, including Andrew Koenig, KE5GVB.
BL-123.
Okay, he says, good morning. This email consolidates a lot of thoughts and discussions we've been having at the Sunday Balloonatics meetings. This is just to give everybody a heads up about what we intend to do as a group and to answer the classic question, when is your next launch? And we have a few categories in the 2026 plans. Preseason testing is going on now. Regular launch season is May through November. Special events, the partner launches, Ham Expo, GPSL, and Field Day, and non-launch activities like merchandise, club presentations, etc. Okay, upcoming events. They have a meeting every other week on Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Dubs Tea and Eats in Plano. Like on 315, 329, 412, 426. And then there's the Wolf City STEM launch at the end of April, early part of May. Their premier launch will be May the 30th or June the 6th is their backup date. And that's when they're going to be doing their big high altitude balloon launch. So mark your calendars. That's again May the 30th or June the 6th as a backup. And then they will be launching a balloon June the 13th at Ham Expo. Some floater launches and a possible workshop at the GPSL on June 18th through the 20th in Pella, Indiana. You can go to superlaunch.org. Okay, then Field Day will be coming up June 27th to the 28th. They may have a 600-gram LaTeX launch with an onboard crossband or repeater, or a parrot repeater, possibly, or an SSTV payload. And their premier launch in August. The exact date is to be determined. And then they also have another premier launch at the end of October or early part of November. So pretty ambitious schedule there. He says we intend to have three premier launches.
launches this year, one in May and June, an August launch, and an end-of-the-season launch in October or November. For our premier launches, we intend to fly the entire suite of payloads, tracking, live SSTV, repeaters in some form, 360-degree cameras, and some rotating payloads. The rotating list of payloads includes a LoRa-based mesh node, mesh-tastic or mesh core, the digital talker, and the FT8 transponder. I say if there's an idea that you would like to fly, join us at their bi-weekly meetings and we'll help you organize the pod into a payload. Something as simple as an atmospheric sensor or something as complex as a gyro-stabilized camera payload would be welcomed. There are a few payloads being actively developed, including the LoRa mesh payload, a 10 gigahertz beacon, or 1.2 to 10 gigahertz transponder, new tracking payloads. Regarding the pre-season testing, they've already launched 5 balloons. 2 of those flights were the UT Dallas AIAA Club. 2 flights were to test the latest development on the RS-41NG firmware. And the final flight was an impromptu launch to capture pictures of the storms moving in last week. Beyond what we have already tested, we intend to launch a few more WeNet payloads into or adjacent to severe weather to capture some amazing photos. He says these are going to be very short launch notices, just an email to release in under an hour, but will be somewhat predictable in the sense they will happen on spicy weather days. Additionally, they intend to test the KI-1TEN Custom Tracker PC board and the W5ABC hydrogen release mechanism so they can level off and float along for many hours at a specific altitude. Okay, so far their pre-season launches have consisted of UTD AIAA on 215 launched from Princeton and recovered. DFM-17 and RS-41NG test on 215, Lab 11, launched from Princeton, landed near Jacksonville, Texas, fire and forget. They did RS-41 and RS-41NG test on 220, Lab 12, launched from Richardson, landed near Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and it was recovered by AE-5AU. And then an 8th UTV AIAA on 222, launched from Denton, severely underinflated, landed near Henderson, Texas, far east Texas, in a pine tree, and was recovered with a drone. And they have pics over at ssdv.haphub.org/KE5GDB/2026/02/22. Said a severe weather launch they did on 310, launched from Richardson, took cool pictures of the storm, the camera failed, landed and almost recovered outside of Mena, Arkansas, and the pictures on that one are over at ssdv.haphub.org/KE5GDB/2026-03-11. In addition to the 3 premier launches and the testing launches, there are a handful of events that we intend to support with balloon launches or balloon-related activities. The scope of our participation will vary with the nature of the special events. Our intended field day launch would include tracking payloads, repeater payloads, and maybe a camera payload for live images. For the school partnership STEM outreach launches, the focus will primarily be on the students and their payloads, So the request for the larger radio community will be for assistance with receiving the tracking and camera payloads and possibly with the chase. All parties are invited to participate with the Richardson Area Balloonatics. Although we are a special interest group within the Richardson Wireless Club, you don't absolutely need to be a member of the RWK to participate. We have collectively achieved so much in the past few years, and we'd love for you to be a part of our continued success, even if it's just receiving tracking data from home on launch days. And ways to participate, you can join the RWK Discord for real-time balloon discussion at discord.gg/ER7XNQBPZU. There is a RWK balloons email list with the lowest amount of traffic. It's over at k5rwk.groups.io/g/balloons. And then they say, meet us at the Dubs Tea and Eats for our every other Sunday meetings. And also join us for launches and chases. Build and fly a payload with us. 73 from Andrew, KE5GDB. Okay, we appreciate that update there from the Richardson, Texas area. And look forward to their launches there in the future. It looks like they're getting plans underway and scheduling things out, which is good. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. We're running a little bit behind schedule this evening with some of our audio issues, but I'm going to take a quick standby now and see who we've got checking in to the net. Okay, let's see. Of course, we've got Carl, WD5JRD, over there in Jersey Village with us. We got Dale, WD0AKO, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. And, of course, he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate him doing that for us. And then we got Vern, WA0RCR, out there in Wentzville, Missouri. He transmits our net on 1.860 MHz, full carrier AM. That's at 5:30 and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Fern putting us on the top band. And then we've got Kai, N6ZZO, out there in McKinleyville, California. He's one of our podcast listeners who calls and checks in. So we appreciate that.
TL123.
Okay, from the Internet Relay Chat System, we have Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. Okay, then let's see here, from Echolink. Enough, N6UTC, he's up there in Long Beach, California. Hello. Okay, Julie and Bruce, KK5DO, and he's up there in Redwood Forest, in the north side of Houston. Hello to Damien, AG9P, up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. He's also in the cold country these days. And we got Dave, WB7GRU, in Howard Lake, Minnesota. And I appreciate Dave checking in. He's been checking in with us for many, many years now. And hello to Mitch, 80HJ, in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, there is a Wednesday night DMR AmSatNet that takes place. And that's over on digital. So you can go on to the DMR Digital Talk Group for AmSat, which is 98006, or YSF Fusion, it's 11689, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time. All right, that is on Wednesday, so we appreciate Inbop doing that net there. If you're going to be doing any roving or making any rear grid squares available by satellite, you might let those guys know. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat net. Okay, we're switching over here to the AmSat News Service bulletins, and this is AmSat News Service weekly bulletin number 74 from Paul Stotzer. The AmSat News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as their volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AmSat News Service bulletins via the ANS list. So the bulletins just show up in your inbox automatically every week. So just go over to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Going over on the Echo Link one in Key. Exactly. Let me see here. We have squelch turned down, I think. Okay. So we've had some radio issues here this evening. The January-February 2026 issue of the AmSat Journal is now available. And that's for members of AmSat over on the AmSat member portal. That's at launch.amsat.org/the_AmSat_journal. Of course, the AmSat Journal is a monthly bi-monthly digital magazine for amateur radio and space enthusiasts, published by the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, or AmSat. Each issue is your source for hardware and software projects, technical tips, STEM initiatives, operational activities, and news from around the world. inside the current issue, we've got the Apogee View, which is comes from the president, Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA. Educational Relations Update from Alan Johnston, KU2Y. The Future Geo Project, Charting the Path to a New Era in Geostationary Amateur Radio, from Paul Stutzer, N8HM. Okay, there's the AMSAT Golf T electronic power subsystem from Kip Moravec, AE5IB. RARS supports historic ISS con magnet contact that almost didn't happen, from Mike Nutt, K3LOE. And then there's the AMSAT India Amateur Radio and Space Communication Gallery Activity Report. And that comes from Rajesh P. Bagadia, VU2EXP. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Looks like we're about halfway through our time here already. Let's take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins. So any check-ins to the Houston AMSAT net come now. Okay, let's see, the AMSAT removed before flight key tags are available, and they are the real thing. They have removed before flight in lovely white embroidered on a red background, and then they've got the AMSAT logo and name and everything on the other side, and your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. It does include first class postage, but it's only for U.S. addresses only, sorry. And you can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Hi, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT net. The IARU coordinates two new amateur satellites. The International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, Satellite Frequency Coordination Committee, has recently completed frequency coordination for two CubeSat missions. Taiwan's Lilium-4 and Montenegro's Luka-01. These coordinations ensure that the satellites can operate without interfering with other space-based communications, paving the way for their upcoming launches and contributions to scientific research, education, and ham radio communities worldwide. Lilium-4, a 6U CubeSat developed by National Formosa University, is set to enhance amateur radio connectivity and optical experimentation in space. The satellite, with call sign BN0YCA, will feature a 1200 BPS AX.25 Apper digipeter on 145.825 MHz for global intercommunication among radio enthusiasts. It also includes a UHF telemetry downlink at 437.850 MHz and a high bandwidth S-band downlink at 2405 MHz for monitoring an onboard optical payload. Additional capabilities involve a VU repeater with uplink at 145.980 MHz and downlink at 435.250 MHz, plus GNSS positioning using the L1 signal at 1575.42 MHz.
The mission focuses on student-led studies of space-to-ground optical signal acquisition.
All right, 1, 2, 3, okay, here we go.
Well,
hello.
Hello, 1, 2, 3, okay, here we go. Seems to be this is a radio problem, not a microphone problem. All right, let's see, let's get back here. Lilium 4 will have an unencrypted telemetry encouraging public participation in decoding and link budget validation. IARU coordination for Lilium 4 was finalized on January the 31st, 2026, following a submission in late December 2025. The satellite is slated for launch no earlier than mid-March 2026 aboard a SpaceX rocket from Vandenberg Space Force Base, targeting a 510-kilometer polar orbit. And we've got Luca 01, represents Montenegro's entry into amateur satellite technology, spearheaded by Montenegro Space Research. This 1U CubeSat is designed for educational outreach, equipped with a charged particle sensor and a miniature camera to capture Earth's surface images. It will transmit special slow scan TV or SSTV images and telemetry data to engage radio amateurs, students, and school children using an open protocol for easy reception with affordable equipment. The mission aims to inspire young people in amateur radio and space science, including efforts to image various orbital objects. Downlinks have been coordinated on UHF frequencies, 437.180 MHz primary, and 436.150 MHz spare, employing GMSK modulation at rates between 2.4 kilobits per second and 19.2 kilobits per second. Okay, coordination was completed on March 13, 2026, after an application submitted on February 6, 2026. Luca 1 is planned for a Roscosmos launch from the Vostochny Cosmodrome into a 500 to 600 kilometer sun synchronous orbit. Okay, we want to thank the IARU for that information. And this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. All right, the 2026 President's Club coins are here. You can help support the Golf and Fox Plus projects. Annual membership start at only $120. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today. Help keep amateur radio in space. The URL is www.amsat.org/join-v-amsat-presidents-club. Well, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net with Pan Mike that I managed to find after 30 years of having this radio and probably not using it almost that long. Okay, we'll say plus 30 years. All right, let's see. We've got the Kenco 2 satellite with a linear transponder, and it has been deployed. Right, another 6U CubeSat, another larger one with 6 of those little cubes stuck together, size. And it's the Tenko 2 from Japan's Nihon University. It was successfully deployed into orbit on March 11, 2026. At approximately 9:34 UTC. Satellite was released from JAXA's new HTV-X1 cargo spacecraft using the HTV-X Small Satellite Orbital Deployer, the H-SSOD. After the vehicle departed the International Space Station, or the ISS, on March the 6th, and raised its altitude to around 500 kilometers, this marks the first use of the HSSOD mechanism for satellite deployment from HTV-X. Developed by the Okayama Laboratory in the Department of Aerospace Engineering at Nihon University's College of Science and Technology, Kenco 2 builds on the legacy of its predecessor, Kenco, launched in 2018. The mission focuses on low Earth orbit environmental observations to gather data for future space development, alongside an orbit demonstrations of next-generation communication technologies. Okay, key goals include evaluating high-speed data transmission and enabling global access for amateur radio operators to collect telemetry and experiment with the payloads. The satellite carries an amateur radio payload coordinated by the International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, and supported by JAMSAT, the Japan Amateur Satellite Association. Okay, it's going to have a VU linear transponder inverting with a 40 kHz bandwidth. The uplink on lower sideband will be from 145.895 to 145.935 MHz, and then the downlink on upper sideband will be from 435.875 MHz to 435.915 MHz.
BL-123.
Okay, then there are some additional downlinks and experiments for Kenco 2, and that is a CW beacon, a digitalker, an AFSK 1.2 kilobit per second GMSK up to 19.2 kilobits per second on 435.860 megahertz. Okay, then there's high-speed experiments, the GMSK 4.8 through 19.2 kilobits per second, 4FSK at 38.4 kilobits per second, and photo picture downlinks on 435.895 megahertz. Also, a 5.839 gigahertz CW beacon for microwave band communication demos. And SHF experimenters, take note, this provides a great target for testing dishes, feeds, and LNAs. The transponder is expected to operate on a scheduled basis, initially 2 days per week, with details forthcoming from the team. Operations began shortly after deployment, with the university's ground station confirming reception of the CW beacon for basic telemetry, like voltage and temperature, etc. Okay, post-deployment updates from the Okayama lab indicate the signal level is currently weaker than anticipated, prompting ongoing monitoring and appeals for reception reports via networks like SatMogs to aid diagnostics and performance assessment. Early passes over Japan and other regions have yielded mixed results, with some operators reporting no signals yet, while preliminary TLEs, such as the temporary NORAD 98542, are circulating for tracking. Alright, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Always nice to see some new satellites up there. Hey, and if you would like to work those, you might need some new satellite antennas. Well, you can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AmSat store. And when you purchase through AmSat, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. URL is amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Alright, this is Mike, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. And thanks to Bruce, the URLs have been posted up there at AmSatNet.com, as well as if you'd like to get an award or certificate for making even your first satellite contact, well, he's got information on how you can do that. And then there's also stuff, a lot of really good stuff, like frequencies that the satellites are operating on, their status, whether they're operating or not operating, the uplink frequencies, the downlink frequencies, all that good stuff is over right over at amsat.org. So they even have the store, and you can buy those satellite antennas.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
All right, we've got some good news for Fuji Oscar 29 or FO-29. Also known as Jazz 2, the Japanese amateur radio satellite launched in August of 1996 has entered a new operational phase as of early March 2026. Now approaching its 30th anniversary in orbit, the satellite, long limited by failed batteries, relies entirely on solar panel illumination for power, meaning it only functions during satellite periods and shuts down in eclipse. February 2026, the FO-29 control team, operated from Japan, continued scheduled activations of the linear transponder, with commands sent on specific dates to turn it on for limited windows. Operators noted the unstable situation due to the satellite's age, with activation sometimes failing if the onboard voltage didn't respond quickly enough. The transponder VU, inverting single sideband and CW with an uplink on lower sideband of 145.900 to 146 megahertz, and the downlink that's on upper sideband from 435.800 to 435.900 megahertz, with the CW beacon on 435.795 megahertz.
March 2026, FO-29 transition into a full sunlight orbit season. This eliminates periodic eclipses, allowing continuous operation as long as solar panels receive light. AMSAT highlighted this in early February bulletins, noting that shadow duration had decreased dramatically from about 20 minutes to less than 1 minute per orbit by mid-February, leading to the full sun entry on March the 9th. Okay, SatMox observers for FO-29 have reported recent CW beacon and telemetry receptions as of March 12th through the 13th, 2026, with stations like EW5WA and DL7NDR logging data. On March 13th, 2026, amateur radio operators reported successful single sideband and CW TSOs during passes, including busy activity with calls from Japan, such as JO1XOK or JE6TSB, and from China, like BA4QNR, BD5EUA, or BG5FWV. And then there were others, like E27DPX, one of those new Japan call signs. One operator described a very busy pass with multiple contacts, and another logged several single sideband and CW exchanges despite windy conditions affecting reception. AMSAT's live linear satellite summaries and status pages list FO-29 as active under full sunlight conditions, with the transponder remaining on until voltage drops below safe thresholds, no longer an issue in continuous sun. Visual modes, 1200 or 9600 BPS or the BBS remain active. And the digitalker on 435.910 MHz is rarely used. This full sunlight period offers a welcome revival for one of the oldest active analog linear transponders in the amateur fleet. Enthusiasts are encouraged to monitor log contacts via the AMSAT Oscar status page and share reports to help track performance. Alright, so this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Now we got to check in there off the phone line from Vern, WA0RCR, out there in Winsfield, Missouri. So we appreciate him transmitting our net on 1.860 MHz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. Okay, we still got coming this year is the SDR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transverter, or transceiver, I've seen it described both ways, 144 MHz to 6 GHz continuous coverage, direct VHF, UHF, 900 MHz, LS, and C-band operations. We'll have up conversion to 5 and dime capability, so it'll be 5 and 10 GHz. All mode, CW, SSB, FT8, narrowband FM, SSTV, ATV, etc. Minimum downlink data rate is 1 megaslice per second, and it's built to fly on a Fox Plus and Golf missions.
DL-123.
Okay, that comes from the SIT, the Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology, and AMSAT engineers keeping amateur radio in space. And we will keep following the AMSAT News Service for more information on the awaited SDR Gen 2.
All right, 2-9 elements, or TLEs, often referred to as comparing elements, or just KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. So you just download the TLE bulletin file once a week. It updates your satellite tracking programs in your computer, and then all these satellites will be in the right places at the right times. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Right, and of course the satellite that was added this week is 10CO2. It's been added to this week's distribution. And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AmSat Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Right, amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. We've got the Lewis Center for Educational Research in Apple Valley, California, has a telebridge via IK1SLD. The ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS, and they're going to talk to scheduled crew member Sophie Adenot, KJ5LTN. The nearest mentor is AA6TB. The contact is 319-2026 at 1715-13 UTC with a 48 degree elevation. And you can watch for a live stream over on lewis.org. And then a couple more coming up is the Amur State University in Bangladeshik, Russia. And they're going to have a contact with the scheduled ISS call sign, R0ISS, and crew member Andrei Feniev. And the AIRS mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is 326-2026 at 0850 UTC. Okay, then there's MOBU, USA, Republic of Bashkortostan, Russia. They're going to have a contact with ISS, R0ISS, with crew member Sergei Kudsverchkov, and the AIRS mentor is RV3DR. The contact is 326-2026 at 1330 UTC. Many times a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL. But those folks at AIRS may not get the URL in time for publication, so you can always check out live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming their contact. And as always, if you try to listen for a pass and you don't hear anything, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the AIRS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. All right, the crossband repeater on the ISS continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up for the PL tone of 67, and then 437.800 MHz down. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. And the service module radio is not in APRS configuration.
only being used for voice contacts at this time. Default mode is for packet operations on 145.825 MHz up and down, but it is occasionally used for SSTV on 145.800 MHz down. And then the ham TV is configured. Its default mode is for scheduled digital amateur television operations on 2395 MHz. And you want to note all times are approximate. You should do your own orbital predictions for times. So start listening about 10 minutes before the times we have listed. The latest information on the operation mode can be found at ARIS.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use is over at www.ARIS.org/contact-v-iss.html. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat net. Okay, we've got a couple of postings here from the ARIS folks. The ARIX teams will track Artemis II mission telemetry. NASA's Artemis II mission offers ARIS and AmSat teams to join again in human spaceflight activities. ARIX, or A-R-E-X, short for Amateur Radio Exploration, is a joint ARIS-AMSAT project to develop radio systems and payloads for the Moon and Mars missions. The first steps will be to work with NASA SCAN to demonstrate passive tracking of the upcoming lunar mission. And then there is an ISS outage scheduled for the 16th to the 19th of March, 2026. So, it looks like right now, ISS isn't transmitting. The Columbus Module Radio, the crossband voice repeater, is off Monday at 0800 UTC, or 4 a.m. Eastern Time, and it will be back on Thursday, 1500 UTC or 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Service Module Radios currently still having problems doing APRS and packet or SSTV. The radio is currently offline after APRS testing for additional analysis, and ham TV is not expected to be impacted. Okay, we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJIVN, one of the ARIS Operation Team mentors, for that information. All right. Well, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And AMSAT offers memberships to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Students are eligible for free membership up to the age of 25. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info at amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, your members help keep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Paul Stotzer, N8HM. That's N8HM at amsat.org. Okay, I hope everybody enjoyed this version of the Houston AmSat Net. Sorry we had audio issues there in the beginning, so we're going to have to figure out, try to use a different radio and or microphone, since we did use a different microphone, but it still seemed like maybe we still had some issues, so we'll be trying to iron that out here. So anyway, from Andy, W5ACM, from Bruce, KK5DO up there in Drummond Forest, myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say stay safe, keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. We're looking forward to catching everybody next week. So 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSat Net.
DL123.